Good morning. I'd like to open the Committee on Human Services for the House of Representatives in the State of Oregon on this President's Day. Welcome. Glad you all could be here. I made a request to my co-chair that I recite the Gettysburg Address from memory, and she refused to allow me to do so.
I did not.
But we're glad you're here on a holiday for some. And we've got a full docket here, and if you've got your agenda, you'll see that we have one, two, three, four bills for work session and three more for possible work session. We will get to all of those except House Bill 2398. I want to notify everyone that we're going to hold that bill over. It's a minor, logistical issue. But we will hear that bill for a work session on the 18th of February.
Try that again.
Well, as I said, the 23rd, and thank goodness everybody's listening. We will hold that over for a hearing on February 23rd, House Bill 2398. Now I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2051, and I would entertain a motion before our discussion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2051 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
We don't have to do that.
And we want to add that to rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
Rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
I'm sorry, which bill? 2051.
2051.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Tomei has moved House Bill 2051 to the
floor
with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent note to rescind the referral to Ways and Means. I hope I got that right. Now, do we have any discussion on the bill?
Call for the motion. Or call for the vote.
And I will call, have the clerk call the roll in just a second, but I would say this, that I want to be sure that we all are paying attention to the fiscal, and I would refer you to the fiscal. It says on our analysis from LFO, the proposed legislation has been determined to have minimal expenditure impact on the state or local government. And I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I want you to also hear this one sentence. While this individual measure has a minimal fiscal impact, an agency may incur a net fiscal impact greater than minimal, depending on the cumulative impact of all measures enacted into law that affect the agency. I think that's important for us to remember, because we've got a whole lot of bills to go through.
Mr. Chair?
Madam Chair.
Thank you. It also goes on to say that it is determined that the agency overall will have a net cost savings and that the joint Ways and Means consideration is no longer necessary.
Counterpoint, and a good one, and I thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Chair Gilliam. I'm just wondering, with this opening up the negotiation process, if it might be a great net savings, as Representative Tomei brought to light, so for the department. So, because with the budget crisis where it is, we might have to negotiate these payments down a little bit with all of our recipients at this time.
Thank you for that, Representative. Any other comments? With that, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Excused.
Representative Wyden.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Gilliam.
Aye. Motion carries. I'm going to close the work.
Do you want to carry it, or do you want to put it on consent calendar?
I think I'd like to ask for a volunteer to carry the bill. Is there a committee member that would like to volunteer? Same. Representative Widener has volunteered, and I appreciate that. And with that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 2051. Okay, I'd like to move on to open a work session on House Bill 2108. And the chair would entertain a motion on 2108. Our administrator has pointed out that we might need a little clarification before we entertain the motion. So, please.
Committee members, I just want to note that this House Bill 2108 does have a subsequent referral to Judiciary. You'll notice in your packet we have not received a fiscal impact statement yet relative to this bill. If the committee chooses to move it out today without recommendation, since it does have a subsequent referral to Judiciary, we don't need the fiscal in order to move it. So just wanted to make that note for you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2108 to the House Committee on Judiciary without recommendation.
Co-Chair Tomei has moved House Bill 2108 to the House Committee on Judiciary with no
recommendation.
Now, we're open for discussion on this bill. Seeing none, and we have the clarification, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Parker.
Aye.
Representative Greenland.
Aye.
Representative Vice Chair Thompson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Gilliam.
Aye. Motion carries, and I'm going to ask Co-Chair Tomei to keep a close eye on that, since you'll be.
I will.
Mr. Chair. May I ask the unanimous consent so Representative Parrish can record a vote on House Bill 2051?
Yes. Representative Greenlick asks unanimous consent to suspend the rules so that Representative Parrish can vote on House Bill 2051. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And it's the clerk's responsibility to ask Representative Parrish.
Mm-hmm.
And in just a moment, you'll be asked the question.
Yes, thank you. For House Bill 2051, I would vote aye on that.
Representative Parrish votes aye, and it'll be recorded for the record for House Bill 2051. So, moving right along, and I've already lost my annotated agenda, but you know, that's what happens. As I said earlier, we were going to hear 2398 in our next meeting. So I would like to open a work session on House Bill 2460. And in just a moment, I will entertain a motion. All right, I would entertain a motion on House Bill 2460.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2460 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Now, before I accept the motion, I should have noted we do have dash ones. That may or may not want to be
right.
Included in the motion.
Okay, so I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 2460.
Co-Chair Tomei has moved House Bill 2460 with the dash one amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Do we have the dash one amendments?
Yes, very accurate.
Yes. It's in your packet, Representatives.
Do we have to approve the dash one amendments electronic documents?
Would you like my copy of it, Representative?
Well, if it's here, I should be able to find it.
Do you want me to read it to you?
I've got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Co-Chair, it's been pointed out that we probably need to go back, resend, and start with the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Approve the amendment. And then
okay.
We'll go back.
Okay. I resend my motion to send House Bill 2460 to the floor.
So noted. I would entertain a motion regarding the dash ones.
Didn't I?
Is that still on the floor?
It's on the
table. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've rescinded your motion regarding the bill, but you have asked for a do pass recommendation on the dash ones.
Correct.
Is there discussion
on the dash ones? Yes, what the dash ones are about, where they came from.
Jennifer, will you give us an overall?
Certainly. Committee members, the amendment provides definition and process clarity and technical fixes as a result of the passage of House Bill 2442B in 2009 and would allow fitness determinations used during criminal background checks be stored at the request of the employee to improve efficiency of background checks when an individual changes employers or work sites.
Do you need to look at it? Would you like a copy to look at?
Do you have a copy of the dash ones, Representative Greenland?
I do have a copy of the
okay.
dash ones.
They don't help
the
much.
I'm trying to find the bill and see what they modify.
Yeah.
We're in discussion about the dash ones. Go ahead.
As I recall, the Representative Gelser who brought
just
this
walked in the room.
Representative Gelser, tell us.
Committee, I'd like to call up our colleague, Representative Gelser, and to join us, identify herself, and then we'd love just to have a little clarification on the dash ones, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course. Good morning, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Happy Monday morning. Happy President's Day. As you might notice, you are a fabulous committee, and people all over the building are watching you on television, like me. The Dash 1 amendments made it possible for some workers to be able to carry forward with them the result of a fitness determination that is done after they have a criminal background check done. This is an administrative efficiency which reduces cost and makes it easier for people to move from one job placement to another. This does not solve that whole problem, but it is an important first step.
Thank you, Representative, and thank you for being here right on time. We needed you right then. So regarding the dash ones, the old cliches in the building, those stakeholders that were interested, because we had some concern back when we heard the bill, are now, as far as we know, okay with the dash ones. We don't anticipate any, that we know of, any counterpoint to dash one.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I would never venture to speak for anyone else. No one has communicated to me a concern about the Dash 1 amendments at this time. Okay. The concern that you did hear was actually about a different issue. It was about the issue of elder abuse reporting. After the hearing, we were able to determine that that was an error in the drafting of the summary, and this bill in no way changes any reporting requirements for elder abuse.
Good. That's a very good clarification. I might have... I'm sensing there might be somebody else in the room who might want to have something to say about...
Can we take a brief recess?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
4:10.
And Sarah Gelser's moving quickly.
He's moving quickly, though.
And I'll wait for you, Representative Gelser. Then I have a very small question that just for clarification, but...
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question of our staff, perhaps?
Absolutely.
What's the status of... I mean, this summary is a summary written in the bill, not somewhere else. What's the status of that summary if this thing goes to court? I mean, an incorrect statement. Can we amend the summary? It says specifically exempts alcohol and drug treatment providers from requirement to report elder abuse and from criminal records check requirement. And that's what's in the bill itself. I mean, is that have no standing whatsoever? Is it just...
My understanding is that can be amended. If that's not, we would have to talk to legislative counsel relative to that, but that can be amended.
Does legislative counsel write the staff summary?
No.
Or do you write?
I write.
I'm talking about the staff summary.
He's talking about the actual bill
itself. I'm talking about the summary that's right in the bill itself.
Ah, thank you.
He's talking to the description at the top of the bill.
The dash one.
Yeah, I mean, it seems weird to send along a bill with a summary on it that the summary isn't what the bill did.
Right.
And the dash one relates to a portion of the bill. It doesn't relate to the summary that's on the top of the bill.
Yep.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you.
We need to go back into your ease. You haven't come back.
I think, just to be clear, we are the committee is now back in session.
Sorry.
Thank you. Sorry, Representative Gelser.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, if I might, I'd like to try to clarify. The dash one amendment actually amends the bill itself. The summary of the bill, which is at the top outside of the bill, is something that legislative counsel writes. That's not something that we amend in a committee. So my understanding is that we would make a request of legislative counsel when the bill is reprinted, that they reprint it with a more accurate summary. And if I might, I've pulled out the statute. The issue in question is on page 2, line 25. And you'll see that the change is made in the definition of person with a disability, and this is for the purposes of abuse reporting, and in 8A, ORS 410.0407B, and then in bold, you see A or C, which means that it has related, it has deleted B in so doing, and B is an alcohol or drug abuser and resides in or needs placement in a residential program administered by the department. So what is being removed is the requirement to report abuse of a person in a drug and alcohol treatment setting, which was an error in House Bill 2442 because our current Adult Protective Service program does not investigate allegations of abuse in inpatient drug and alcohol treatment programs. Because it retains A and C, the mandatory reporting remains for A, has mental retardation or a developmental disability, or is mentally or emotionally disturbed and resides in or needs placement in a residential program administered by the department, and C, has a physical or mental disability other than those described in subparagraphs A and B of this paragraph. But it does nothing to impact the elderly population or elder abuse.
Committee satisfied with that, and I will remind everyone that we're talking about dash one. I've got a couple of quick comments about the bill, but we can do that when we move to approving the whole bill. But on dash one, and her clarification, is there a question? Representative?
Well, it's more kind of a statement. The dash one's actually talked with the district attorneys on this actually Friday, and they're happy with the dash one amendments. I have troubles voting on it, and I would like from legislative counsel to make sure that we're going to be able to get the summary right before I cast a vote on this bill.
Yeah. Okay, and I want to address that, but like I said, I think we'll address that once we have approved the dash ones, and you're okay with the dash ones?
Yes.
Okay, and hold the thought because I'd be happy to entertain a comment. So, on the dash ones, Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, We're referring to the dash ones, but the language that you just read is in the main bill.
Yes, Chair Gilliam, Chair Tomei, Representative Harker, the language I was referring to is in the main bill, and I would point out, Representative Widener, that there can't, the bill will not be reprinted again, so the summary will not be reprinted until the bill leaves the committee and gets printed as engrossed with the dash one. So before that new summary can be printed, the bill has to come out of the committee and be printed and engrossed.
To my issue,
please.
Yes.
The dash one, does it change A or C or B?
No.
Does not change that line.
The dash one has no impact on that portion of the bill.
Is this LC? Are you LC, sir?
I was just thinking maybe LC could come up. And please identify yourself and help us as you may.
Good morning, Chairs Gilliam and Tomei. My name is Charlie Cheek, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel. Just by way of starting, this is not my bill, but I was listening to your discussion about bill summaries. Bill summaries are not part of the law. They are simply there to guide the readers as to the content of the bill. Should the committee or the body adopt an amendment, the digester will resummarize the bill to reflect what actually has been adopted and sent out of the first house. So it would reflect changes. And my understanding is there's an inaccuracy or something in this summary. And then if
you hold fire for just a second, because I'm very glad you're here. But
yes.
If correct me, Madam
Chair. Let's get the amendment.
Trying to stick to this amendment, and then I want to have this comment. Is there any more discussion on the dash one? And then you're welcome to make any. I just want to be sure. So I'm going to close the discussion on adopting the dash one.
How do we adopt it?
And Co-Chair Tomei has made a motion to adopt the dash one amendments to House Bill 2460, and I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Greenlee.
Aye.
Representative Parker.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Wider.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Gilliam.
Aye. The dash one amendments to 2460 are adopted. Now I'd like to move to, I would entertain a motion on House Bill 2460 so that we can continue our discussion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2460 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Do we have to have the subsequent? Do we mention the subsequent?
This bill doesn't have a subsequent.
Good. Co-Chair Tomei moves House Bill 2460 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? And before we have any up here, I'd like to return to you.
Okay. Again, my point, Chair Gilliam, was that the summary is an aid to the reader. It's not part of the law. The only extent that a court might even look at it is if they ever get to legislative history. But by the time a bill has been passed out of both houses, should you amend it, the summary will be changed to reflect actually what the bill does after it has been amended. So it would be accurate at that point.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenlee.
I'm not quite sure what you said, Charlie. This isn't a slight problem. The summary starts off with a completely wrong statement.
Okay, yeah, I haven't even read this.
Yes, I mean, it says the bill does this, and in fact, the bill doesn't do that. So, I mean, it's a pretty serious thing. The question, and I have to say, this is my fifth session. I've never seen this happen before. But when it comes out of here, it will be amended. It's going to be reprinted when it goes to the floor. Will that be changed before it gets to the floor of the House?
Before it gets to the floor of that, I think the digester would change it after it is passed out of the second House, not out of the first House.
Well, then I'm going to vote no on this bill, if that's the case. I mean, I think, do we have the power to amend the summary?
No.
So it's going to carry to the floor of the House,
and
stating it does something that it doesn't do.
And to the floor of the Senate.
And to the floor of the Senate, apparently.
It shouldn't.
Hold on.
I believe that it doesn't occur until the digester gets the bill that is, in fact, enrolled. So that would be correct.
Representative Gelser.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question of my fellow panelists?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So oftentimes when we have a bill, there may be a summary, and we amend the bill, and maybe we do something really friendly like gut and stuff it, and it does something completely different. In that case, when it comes to the floor, it has a completely different summary to reflect what has happened in committee. So wouldn't it be possible, if there is a substantial error of fact, that the digester could change the summary to accurately reflect what the bill does before the members of the House vote on it on the House floor, since the bill will be reprinted again anyway to be engrossed with the amendment?
With the amendment. Mm-hmm. I'll have to, before I answer that question, I need to check with the chief editor. Okay? I can do that for you. Get back in 5 minutes if you'd like.
I'd really like that.
Okay.
We have somebody from mental health who may want to speak.
Just Representative Widener.
I would like to wait 5 minutes or however long it takes, because I'll have troubles giving the Sinai vote until we get the summary straightened out, and I know what's going to happen.
Okay. It's my intention to close the work session temporarily. I don't want to derail this bill, but I do think it's reasonable at this point, if it's okay with the Madam Chair, to hold for 5 minutes.
We have somebody from mental health there who might be able to.
I think we're okay now. If that's okay with you. If you would check, we'll get back to this bill. So I'm going to temporarily close the work session on House Bill 2460, and when we see you again, we'll reopen it. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for bringing that up, committee. I appreciate it. So we will get back to 2460. And now I would like to open a work session on House Bill 2052. We have 2 minutes?
Yes.
So, colleagues, we have 2 amendments to 2052. And, Jennifer, would you let us know a little bit about those 2 amendments?
Okay, Mr. Chair, committee members, the Dash 1 amendment modifies the operative date of the Act to October 1st, 2011, and it allows the Department of Human Services to adopt rules or take action prior to the operative date in their performance of duties, functions, and powers, and it declares, it adds that it declares an emergency that would taking effect upon passage. There was a fiscal statement issued as well on the Dash 1s. The analysis indicates, though, that there would be no fiscal impact relative to the Dash 1s. On the Dash 2s, it modifies the age span for the individual receiving benefits. Again, a fiscal statement was issued on the Dash 2s. The analysis indicates that there is no fiscal impact relative to the Dash 2s. Based on that, we had requested to rescind the referral to Ways and Means on this bill, and that has been approved by both the co-speakers for that to happen.
So we would remove it, or we would?
We would need to, in the motion, indicate that we wanted it to rescind that referral, correct, after adopting.
So I would entertain a motion. Can we do two amendments at once?
Yes.
I would entertain a motion, if you care to, on both the Dash 1 and Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2052.
Mr. Chair, I move Amendment 1 and Amendment 2 to House Bill 2052.
Co-Chair Tomei has moved Amendments Number 1 and Number 2, or as we like to say, Dash 1, Dash 2, to House Bill 2052. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Seeing no discussion, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Weiser?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Greenlick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Aye.
Chair Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Gillian?
Aye. The Dash 1 and 2 amendments to House Bill 2052 are passed. And now I would entertain a motion to pass House Bill 2052.
Mr. Chair,
as amended. Sorry.
I move House Bill 2052 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and with the motion to send it to Ways and Means rescinded.
Co-Chair Tomei has moved House Bill 2052 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and with an indication that the subsequent referral to House to Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Colleagues, I'm obviously going to vote for this bill, but I would point out something, again, that we all take closer look at the fiscal impact. And I understand what we're doing, and I am for it, but I just want to be sure it's on record that by adding this group of eligible folks, we are then eligible for more federal funding and more federal matching. However, if it's a match, that's the key. So if you're going after an additional $1.6 million, you've got to find $1.6 million. So at the risk of saying the obvious, I just think that should be on record. And I am all for this, but I am not for doing this if we don't understand that it does. I'm not going to say it has a fiscal impact in the traditional sense of these reports from LFO, but it does have implications for the larger budget.
Okay.
Further discussion?
Yeah, okay. Am I looking at the right one? Yeah, I'm looking at the fiscal impact statement. And it says these modifications will not have an impact on general fund expenditures, but will allow the department to claim federal Title IV-E foster care and adoption assistance funds for these payments. I think all it does is increase the federal match, not increase the amount we need to put into the federal match.
That's how I read it.
I think that's what it says. I read it too. I mean, if you had to put up general funds to get this, and this bill committed to put up general funds, then it would have had to go to Ways and Means. This apparently says there's no general fund impact.
How you get the money is affected here. How much? Not so much. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that we're already matching some things. This seems to say, I don't know, but it seems to say, given what we're already matching in general funds, we will now get $1.6 million more in federal match without increasing general funds. I mean, if we need to get somebody from LFO in, it would be useful to do that. But that's what the words are saying.
I think it increases the pool that's eligible for the match by changing the age requirement, correct?
That's the dash twos. The dash twos changes the age requirement.
Well, I may only be reading the fiscal impact for the dash twos, not the whole bill with the dash twos. But
well, does anybody on the committee feel like we need further clarification? If not, and if there's no further discussion, Representative Wagner.
I think is what we're doing. We're expanding from 18 to 21, so we're putting more people into the classification, and we're leveraging. It's $1.8 million in the first fiscal impact that was there, and it's $1.6 in the other one. So it's definitely going to increase, but we are leveraging as probably money that we already had. It's not very clear on how many people we'll be adding when we added that 18 to 21 and how much we're really increasing the budget. I mean, I don't have anything that really clarifies that. They're lumping everything in together. So I'm just wondering if...
Well, I think it will increase the budget. I mean, I think it will increase the total funds budget.
Yes.
But not the general funds budget. At least that's what they're saying.
Looks like we have legislative council here. But I don't know if they're for this or something else.
Yeah.
Thank you, Representative. Is there anybody in the room that wants to speak to 2052 that's standing in the back?
Vicky Cerezo is standing.
I don't know, he's seated.
Or even seated.
Yeah. Or seated, we'll go with seated. But
she, and she wants to talk about Gelsinger's bill.
Right. Mickey, help us out. Identify yourself and thank you for coming forward.
Sure. Co-chairs, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mickey Cerise. I'm Deputy Assistant Director for the Department of Human Services, and I will do my best to help you out. My understanding is that this is the same population. This does not increase the population. What we're doing is moving them from one category, which is foster care, that costs a certain amount of money, into another category, which would allow us to move these children into adoption and guardianship, which is a lesser amount of money. The federal match that you were talking about, in my understanding, it's a look back. It's not something we invest to get the money, and it's about a 60-40 split. So when we have children in foster care or adoption assistance or guardianship, we get that federal match for this population. I don't have the specific numbers, but my understanding is that our budget folks in LFO work out the projections on what this would mean in terms of reducing foster care and increasing the other two categories, which are adoption assistance and guardianship.
So, Mickey, we have access, by changing the statute, we have access to more federal match, but we don't necessarily have to come up with more money, general fund or otherwise.
That's my understanding, yes. That is my understanding. And that's why in LFO, or in the fiscal impact, we show a fiscal for federal funds, which we would require limitation. We would need to come to the legislature and ask to spend those monies once we draw them down for a population.
But we wouldn't be eligible without the change in the statute here for that portion.
Well, we wouldn't have a fiscal without, I mean, we wouldn't have, maybe I didn't understand your question, Chair. Let's see.
Hold on just a second. I'm just trying to be sure, to Representative Greenlick's point, that this is not changing our immediate outlook for budgeting in this cycle, but is merely, I don't know if merely is the right word, but it is giving us access or leverage to additional federal matching funds that without this change we wouldn't be able to get.
That's correct.
Yeah, if I can ask, I mean, please, we have these kids in category A, whatever that category is now, and we have general funds and a federal match. If all we're doing is moving from category A to category B, category B gives them a bigger federal match on the same general fund contribution, is what I hear you're saying.
I'm not sure if it's a larger federal match, but I think there is a cost savings when we move them from category A to category B.
LFO, right. You know, they're always trying
colleagues,
to
I
make
am not
it worse, not better, so.
We can call.
No, I'm satisfied, but I do. I appreciate the chair, committee being patient, but I just want to be sure, and I will admit my lack of experience in this area, that we are taking a look at the fiscal statements closer, maybe than I have in the past. And so I thank you for your forbearance in discussing this, but I hope we'll continue to watch this as they come through. I'm going to recommend that we move on, but if there is any further discussion, I obviously will entertain that. Seeing no further discussion, and thank you, Mickey.
Thank you.
I would like for the clerk to call the roll, please.
Sorry?
You first.
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair Gilliam? Aye. House Bill 2052 is passed, and I would like, I think it's important, given our discussion, that that we have a carrier for this bill. And
if you'll help me understand it, I'll be happy to carry it.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Representative Greenlick. We'll carry the bill.
So that what I say is sort of right.
Good. I think that's a good goal. And with that, I'll close the possible work session on 2052. And I'm going to ask for a brief...
Since Charlie Teek is here, maybe we can...
Hold on just a second. Just stand down for just a second. Representative Parker, would you like... Committee, and I'd like to reopen the work session on House Bill 2460, and our good friend Charlie is back, so please come forward and enlighten us. You have to identify yourself again for the record, please.
Chair Gilliam, to members of the committee, Charlie Cheek, Legislative Council. I think I have this clarified now so we all get on the same page. Should the committee pass the bill out with amendments, the bill will be printed A engrossed, and at that time, the measure summary will be adjusted to reflect what was passed out of committee, including the amendment. If that's true, should the bill either go to another committee in the House or to the floor for a vote? So before it gets to the floor, the summary will be adjusted to reflect the content of the bill as it comes out of committee as amended.
That satisfies my question on that one. That's the answer. Anybody else comment? Thank you. I've learned something today. Thank you for that. And I want to move on, but I do want to make one point. Representative Gelser, you might want to come forward. I just want to ask you a quick question. This is not... intended to derail this bill, but I'd like to clarify one question that's come up. So if you could re-identify yourself, and then I'll ask you the question.
Thank you, Co-Chair Gilliam, Co-Chair Tomei. It is still Monday morning. I'm still Representative Gelser from Corvallis.
Yes,
thrilled to
are.
Be here.
Yes, you are, and fairly patient, I might add.
Will you tell my husband that, please?
Representative, there was a question about, in the bill it talks about the records that are involved here, and I want to be sure it does not include, or you could clarify that it does not include, the fingerprints. Are you familiar with this question, and could you help us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I became aware of this question after sitting down at the dais this morning, after you took your recess, and my understanding is that the record is of the fitness determination, that it is not a fingerprint record. The language does not talk about fingerprint records.
Okay. That helps. Go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say that helps clarify it. If that needs further clarification, you won't have any problem doing that or maybe working with the Senate. I'm not a big fan, I said this earlier, I'm not a big fan of fixing on the Senate side, but in this case, I think that that is something that could be addressed on the Senate side, just to be sure that is the case, that fingerprints are not included.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I may share with you a new piece of information, which was just shared with me in the hallway, I, too, am not interested in derailing this bill. I very much look forward to being done working on this bill. But there is a bit of a disagreement about what happens when you remove B, because in the implementation of House Bill 2442, for the first time, we added B in, which required that if you were an elderly person that was in a substance abuse treatment facility, that you would be investigated and it would be reported. That was a new thing. The department never implemented that part of the law. So there are basically three choices. You could adopt this and go to what is current practice, even though it is not currently in compliance with the law, which would revert to where we were in 2009. We could take another day and try to get it exactly right, which I would recommend doing, or we could work to fix that on the Senate side. But certainly it is would never be my intention to roll back any elder abuse requirement at all. I think there is also a technical issue of the shift between breaking apart the health authority and DHS, and what does that mean when you reference the department. So if you would indulge me, I would appreciate if you might consider holding this over till Wednesday and giving me the opportunity to work with AMH and Legislative Council to get it precisely exactly right.
Wow. I can't imagine anybody disagreeing with that, Representative, and I appreciate that recommendation, and that's what we shall do in just a moment. So thank you for coming and
thank you.
For your perseverance with this bill. And I would just remind everybody, obviously it's important, the details are important, but what we're trying to do here is make sure that we're not eliminating a very important resource, that is folks that have been through these problems, right, helping those who are going through them. We'll get this right, and it's an important bill. So thank you, Representative Gelser. I'm going to hold over, with your consent,
yes,
I'm going to hold over House Bill 2460 for February 23rd, if it's possible. And if we need to do that again, we will. But we'll hold it over for Wednesday, and hopefully we can do that. So with that, Representative.
There's a motion on that.
So we have to rescind the motion. Mr. Chair, I rescind the motion to pass House Bill 2460 as amended to the floor.
Co-Chair Tomei rescinds her recommendation on House Bill 2460, and we will hold this bill over for a further work session on February the 23rd, and I now close the work session on 2460.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you for your patience with this issue and with your chair, committee. I'd like to open a hearing on House Bill 2057, and I would
hearing or work session?
Did I say hearing?
Scheduled.
I'd like to close that hearing, and I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2057. And this is really a magical machine here that could just change things. So I would entertain a motion on House Bill 2057.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2057 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Tomei recommends moves House Bill 2057 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I know she wants to add
And rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
And she adds to rescind the referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Greenland.
Is there somebody from SPV here you could ask a question?
Could anybody from which one? We don't use those. My co-chair won't allow me to use those acronyms from
SPV. I was reading it off here, which is
from seniors and
persons with disabilities.
Thank you. She's trained me well. No one. There is no one here that wants to come. Well, Karen, come and identify yourself and be our next guide.
Chair Gilliam, Chair Tomei, Chair Greenlink, and members of the committee, my name is Karen Mainzer. I'm the legislative coordinator for the Division of Seniors and People with Disabilities in the Department of Human Services.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm wondering if Representative Greenlink or others have a question for you.
I do, sir, if I Please. May. This defines a person with disabilities as to somebody who as an impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activities. Does the bill define major life activities? I didn't see it in the definition section. And if not, is there a statutory definition in the act?
Chair Gilliam, Chair Tomei, and Representative Greenlit, I don't have that document in front of me. I believe I can run to my computer and grab it. But at the last testimony, Fred Steele from our division talked to you about that, and he prepared a response to your question, and I believe that is in the review process at our division, but I do have a draft, and if you give me a few minutes, I can probably pull that up.
It's up to you,
Chair.
I mean, the issue is that there's there are different kinds of measurements of life activities and impairments. I just want to make sure this is specific rather than, I mean, so we don't have to get into an argument again about what this is. The instrumental, what's called instrumental
activities of daily living, yes.
Daily living, and there's other activities. Does this relate to the activities of daily living piece rather than the instrumental?
It is actually, Chairs Gilliam and Chair Tomei and Representative Greenlick, my understanding is it is defined in another section of the statute, and that was going to be referenced in our response to your question. There's no changes in terms of the definition of disability being made by this bill.
But your question is how is that defined? What are major life activities defined in the statute?
Yes, exactly. Is it defined in statute or somewhere else that we? I mean, it is a major change because it makes it very specific.
It's a major change?
Well, it's a major change from what's in the statute now.
Okay. Representative Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up, this was the question that I asked last time, and it sounds like there an answer has been prepared, and we should see it.
And we need a few minutes to get that answer?
Yes, Chair. Gilliam and Tomei, I'm going to run back to my laptop and see if I can't pull that up.
How far away is that, Karen?
Members of the committee, it's in the back of the room, but it will take me a few minutes to find the email to pull that up.
All right. So thank you. And if you would do that, I'd appreciate it. And in the meantime, I will close the work session on House Bill
20. Before you do that,
before I do that, I just want to see if anybody else has a comment.
Thank you. We did receive information on February 9th, and I know we've all forgotten that. Do you have that?
I'm going to take a look here.
Okay.
It's a letter from Human Services.
And I'm just going to refer to the second page.
Please do.
Where he says, though the proposed definition may appear to be expanding those eligible for services, this is not actually the case. The definition is just updated to more accurately reflect the populations now served by the agency. The definition is merely an umbrella definition for the statutory policies connecting the mission of the department to Oregonians with disabilities. In fact, the proposed definition would now be more reflective of the general definition for person with a disability as provided by the legislature in 1989 and has been growing in use throughout the Oregon revised statutes.
Now, that addresses...
It's not an answer to the question.
Co-chair, that addresses the important definition of the population, but not of the activity. Is that right? And Representative Greenlick is specifically interested in what a major life...
The new umbrella definition says impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activities. And I just wanted... My question was, is there a definition in statute or in use of what a major life activity is? I mean, is that an instrumental activity of daily living? Is it an activity of daily living? Is it something very specific?
I have friends who talk of golf that way.
Well, yeah, for some people, I think it is the only activity that matters.
So, I think it looks like we need another minute or two. Mm. So, with that helpful clarification, sure. We still have a little bit to go here.
When Representative Harker asked that questions of James Taves, that James referenced Chapter 410 and 174 as talking about major life activities and the definition of disability. Those are the two that James referenced.
That sounds like
there's
a statutory definition.
Yeah.
So that's all I was asking.
Okay.
So there is basis in current statute for a definition.
What are those?
You want to look at it?
It says James indicated Chapter 410 and 174.
All right, I'm in 410 now. Major, what's the term? Major life.
Major life activities.
And the race is on between a laptop and the actual statute.
There is no 174.
The person that finds it first, please identify yourself.
Is it 410.174 or is it 410 and 174 as two separate things? Because I'm not finding it in 410. There's no 410.174.
I have and 174, okay, so not 174, not okay. Dot 174.
Right. And this is no doubt what Karen's looking up right now, too. So we should have it in a second.
Representative Greenlick, at the last meeting, you they also indicated when DHS was going to provide, they referenced ORS 659.A, sections 100 through 145, in reference to the whole thing with regard to the federal definitions and that the federal government utilizes in the definition of disability.
Will you give me that one?
659.A, sections 100 through 145 is the reference that Fred Steele utilized.
Okay. 159A, and what are the subsections?
100 through 145.
Doesn't appear to be defined in 174 either. It's referenced.
I've got it.
Good. Representative Parrish.
It's in 659A 1.104. Activities and functions that are considered major life activities for the purposes of determining if an individual has a disability include but are not limited to caring for oneself, performing manual tasks, seeing, hearing, eating, sleeping, walking, standing, lifting, bending, speaking, breathing, learning, reading, concentrating, thinking, communicating, working, socializing, sitting, reaching, interacting with others, employment, ambulation, transportation, operation of major bodily function, including but not limited to functions of the immune system, normal cell growth, and digestive, bowel, bladder, neurological, brain, respiratory, circulatory, endocrine, and reproductive functions, and the ability to acquire, rent, or maintain property.
So it sounds like they thought that through at some point.
It just kept going on and on. Sorry.
Is that helpful? Representative Greenlicht, is that...
I would like to comment there.
Please.
This definition means an impairment in one or more of these major life activities. That may be an umbrella definition, but it's much broader than is used to actually categorize somebody as disabled. I mean, for example, thinking or sitting. Standing or whatever it is, and I don't think that makes me a person with disabilities for the definition of receiving services. I mean, these are things that are built into scales, like activities of daily living, or instrumental activities of daily living, and the scales derive by measures across a range of them. I mean, that may be okay here, but it seems to me it's going to create a bigger issue.
Co-chair, to make a comment.
Thank you. I just want to point out, I think we're getting into a definition that perhaps we don't need to. This definition was replacing one that was in statute, which is who is eligible for supplemental security income for general assistance and meets one of the following criteria, and it goes on, retardation, alcohol and drug abuser, has a physical and mental disability, etc. So I think it was just to clarify, since many of these people now don't get SSI, that it just was to clarify the definition.
Right, it takes out the requirement for it.
Correct. Yeah.
Was there a comment on this side that I missed or a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. The language on lines 27 and 28 really is redundant because what is in 174 is the definition of person with a disability, and it includes that language already. So that exact definition of person with a disability, ... limits one or more major life activities, is already defined in statute. So this is not adding something new.
Right.
It is, for better and worse, in statute already with that definition.
And thank you, Representative Parker. And Representative Greenlicht, is your... issue, I'm not putting words in your mouth, more with the original definition and re-examination thereof, or with the bill itself and how it treats the definition?
Well, my point is that the definition that's in here, as our co-chair has pointed out, is a relatively restrictive definition. You need to be eligible for SSI and... Now, this replacing a restrictive definition with a wide open definition. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I could have had four of us in the sitting, and I know I would qualify under under this definition. And I don't think we want to qualify me for benefits under disability, because I think, well, I might be able to pass the scale anyway, but I mean, this just opens it up. If it's already there, then I would say just refer this to where it is in statute and let it go with that. But I mean, I think it opens the door quite widely.
There's enough question on this. I don't think it's as major maybe as it appears. And we have an indication from the department that they would be happy to hold this over and clarify and get the definitions right for Wednesday, that if it's your permission, Co-Chair Tomei, I'd like to hold this over for clarification.
I rescind my motion to move House Bill 2057 to the floor with the two-pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Tomei has rescinded her motion, and we are going to hold over House Bill 2057 for a work session as early as February 23rd. So I will now close the work session on House Bill 2057.
Okay.
And we'll look forward to that. We got one more. I would like to open a work session on House Bill 2058. And colleagues, if you want to take a quick look, Jennifer, would you just give us a reminder on the summary of this bill?
Certainly. House Bill 2058 authorized the Director of Human Services to impose civil penalties on unlicensed individuals providing adult foster care.
Thank you. Colleagues, I would entertain a motion on House Bill 2058. Hold on a minute. I can't find it. I misspoke. I would entertain a motion on House Bill 2058, regardless of the fact that I can't find my folder.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2058 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
We want to rescind the referral.
And we rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
Co-Chair Tomei has moved House Bill 2058 to the floor with the due pass recommendation and asks that we rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, uncharacteristically seeing none, I would like to ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Wagner.
Aye.
Aye. House Bill 2058 passes, and I would like to ask Representative Harker if he would consider carrying this bill.
Aye, aye, Chief.
You're a good man. Representative Harker will carry, and I would like to close the work session on House Bill 2058. And mercifully, unless there are other comments from the committee, I would like to close this session after this commercial. No.
I'm wondering, what time do we meet on Wednesday? Is there a change in time for Wednesday? Is that 8:30?
Is there a floor session?
Is there? I'd have to check on the start of the floor session.
I don't think so. Can I suggest that it's at 9, but if it's a change, we will be very careful
to let
the committee know if we got to go earlier.
We're now moving
into that period where it may or may not be fluid on.
Right.
Sorry, time.
Right.
Yes, Representative Widener.
Mr. Chair, if I may, real quick, I think we should check the records or possibly get with the clerk, because this is the most work sessions I've ever partaken in that were open and closed and never actually voted on. So I think we may have set a record in committee today, and we should note that, because you are the one who dutifully carried out the task, and your name should forever be recognized for that.
You know, thank you, Representative Widener. It's very rare that we agree.
There is a floor session on Wednesday that starts at 11.
At 11.
So we are at 9. Okay.
So unless you hear otherwise, we will start again at 9. And Representative Widener, there will be many records broken in this committee, and I'll be good. So with that, I close the meeting of the House Committee on Human Services, Oregon House of Representatives, on this President's Day.